to the Audit Committee of the 24th of September. I declare the meeting now open.
Yes, Council Chairman, that Laura Devlin is not back on paternity leave yet, so Pete Burns, the nominating officer for the SDLP, so...
Yeah, thanks, Liam. I'll nominate a replacement for Laura, Terry Andrews, to step in for Laura Devlin on the committee.
And then, Chairman, I'm conscious that members only got a copy of the council this evening on the letter of charge management, so I suggest enable members to have a chance to go through the accounts and read the accounts and be in a position to engage in the discussion onto it. So we join the meeting at 7 o'clock. I can give a proposal and second for that. And then we start back at 7 o'clock then. When
proposed.
Have a chance.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody's in agreement.
Okay, everybody agree we'll be adjourned and reconvene at 7 o'clock. Thank you. Okay, members, can we call the meeting to order again? Thank you very much for that adjournment. And hopefully everybody had an opportunity to read the accounts in another Audit Office report. If you could start with apologies. Do we have any further apologies?
Sharon, Councillor Lewis, Councillor Gibbons, Councillor Rowan, Councillor Enright, Councillor...
no. Don't say that, please. Don't say that.
Thank you, Chief Executive, for that.
Councillor Sharvin, I suppose.
Can I just say at the outset that I want to thank everybody for their patience in moving this meeting. I appreciate it was out of my hands being as I'm on call for jury service, but I appreciate everybody taking the time out to put it to another time and date, so that's appreciated. Declarations of interest. Anybody any declarations of interest? Okay, then if we could take items 3 and 4 together. We have the action sheet from the Audit Committee from the last meeting, and the members' training is covered within that. I was going to ask Gerard to take us through the Audit Committee meeting action sheet, if you would like to start. Gerard, thank you.
Thanks, Donna. So we have two actions that remain outstanding, and the first one is in relation to the grant management system. So I've updated the action sheet. So the IT Project Working Group approved the project mandate on the 22nd of June 2018, and the programmes unit is now working with Acuity to develop a specification. Two workshops have been held with the staff within the programme unit, and the specification is going out to the public on the 3rd of October 2019. So the new financial assistance policy, which was developed, will not be effective until the grants management system is in place. So we're hoping early in the new year, both the system and the policy will be effective. The other action outstanding was in relation to members' training for the Audit Committee. So Louise had let me know that 4 members are going to the on-board training. So Brona and 3 elected members are going to the on-board training. But we are also going to have in-house training now, so before the December Audit Committee. And so we're just going to put it out to the members. Would you rather it just before the committee in December, or just rather a morning or afternoon prior to December? So it's really up yourselves. It'll only be an hour and a half, so I'll say a max. It'll probably be me and Christine Hagen from ASM who take it.
I think just before the committee, if we then just have an hour break between the committee. Is this internal that we had the last time?
Yeah, so very, very similar. People will be run through.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very good. Right. I think just right before the committee, you go into the committee with a bit more, a bit more efficient around the go. Yep.
Is that okay?
Okay, members in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
and that was the only action
side. Well, just the last one there, Gerard has made the...
Oh, yes.
Oh, not the last one, the AC55. And the update and audit recommendations, which will be coming to enclosed business later on. Just Gerard will then update us what he's doing in relation to that at that stage, if that's okay. Okay, so we're agreed to, so I think there's a change of that one from a Y to an N at this juncture, and if we can agree, then all the other actions are removed as in line with what's already laid out. Members in agreement? Okay, thank you. Okay, members, now we move to closed business. Items 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 and 13 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business.
Proposer, seconder.
We need a proposer and seconder. Okay, I've got that. Okay. Back what was agreed. during the closed business, please.
So, coming out of the closed session, members agree to note item 5, the ASM progress report, item 7, the ASM internal audit report, ledger services, cash handling and bookings management, and item 13, the update on audit recommendations. Members also agree to approve item number 6, which is the ASM internal audit plan, the revision of the plan. This was proposed by Councillor Byrne and seconded by Councillor Clark. They also agreed to approve the audit office report to those charged with governance and agreed that a final report to those charged with governance will be brought back to the December committee with management responses. This was proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. And finally, members agreed to approve the statement of accounts in 2018-19, and this was proposed by Councillor Warren and seconded by Councillor Clark.
Okay, thank you, Gerard, for that. That's very helpful. Thank you. Moving to item number 10, the corporate risk register. Gerard, if I could ask you to take us through that, please.
Okay. SNT completed a thorough review of the corporate risk register on the 3rd of September of 2019. No new risks were added to the corporate risk register, and we still have 12 risks on the corporate risk register. So the summary sheet highlights that we still have the 12 corporate risks, and we have 2 red risks. So one of the major changes from the SNP review was to increase the residual risk score of the failure to provide timely planning decisions. So this has increased from 16 to 20, and this was on the advice of members of the last committee. They were worried about the level of backlog cases in relation to planning and the effect this was having on the council reputationally. So ASMT have agreed to increase this score. The other red risk we have is the failure to implement an economic development programme to regenerate the district and attract inward investment due to financial uncertainties caused by the current economic and political climate. And the reason this risk is red is due to the effects of Brexit and the uncertainty in relation to a no-deal Brexit, particularly in relation to the Newry Moore and Down District Council. So there was a paper brought to the SPNR in the second week in September, which was a council-specific risk register in relation to Brexit. So this was noted at the committee. Any members have any questions?
Okay, thank you, Chair. Thank you, George. Could I take any questions from members, please? Councillor Hannan.
Hi, George. I just wanted to come in on Corporate Risk 12 with regard to absenteeism for staff. So I think it probably needs to be more scrutiny needs to be there, maybe bring it to, for example, a relevant committee like SCNR, potentially on a quarterly basis, just given that the new procedure won't be implemented until March 2020. I think that would leave a significant gap within council if we aren't keeping a good eye on it from an audit perspective.
Yeah, well, I think that's a fair point. I know the absenteeism stats are reported, I think, to SMT and CMT, but only go once a year to SCNR when the local government report is produced. So it's probably something SMT will consider and see which committee it fits with.
Okay.
We report to SPNR, not in October, November.
To clarify, is that Chief Executive, is that on a quarterly basis you're hoping to do that?
We'll do that, yeah, we'll bring forward a report and actually look to try to do it on a regular basis. We need to see how valid it's just numbers maybe on a monthly basis will work, or
yeah,
maybe 6 monthly, maybe beneficial, and leave it to the HR guys to give me advice. But I think the point you make is, given the issue of absenteeism, given what's reported in the audit office report, I think it's a valid request. I know that we're current, and we'll give you an update in terms of where we are with the policy and the negotiations with trade unions. It was an issue last year, so, yeah. Currently the worst record, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Chair. I thank you very much. I do concur with the speaker opposite you in relation to absenteeism. I do think it's very, very important that we do sort of keep an eye on absenteeism, and also, and probably, I'm sure there are measures and checks and balances in place to count as to why we have such a high level of absenteeism. And maybe, you know, we could need to look at our procedures and measures to, you know, with staff to ensure that we can over a long term period that we can do bring absenteeism levels down to a more acceptable standard. But I think we need to look at those approaches sort of way hand in hand as to why we have it and what measures that we can take and enhance to make things to make sure staff feel appreciated and feel that they're wanted, and that to give them more of an incentive to go back into the workplace. I'll be happy to support that there. And also in relation to planning, I know a lot of us councillors, we do get it from maybe members of the public and agents, etc., about planning and why it's taking so long or whatever. But I do welcome every effort possible to try to bring the planning down to a more manageable level. I do appreciate very much our staff. They do a lot of hard work, and they are to be commended. But I do hope that we can get more stringent measures in place to get the backlogs down.
Just in regards to the planning also, obviously there's concerns in regards to the development plan and keeping pace. We're developing that. But in relation to the applications, that there was discussions that there was going to be an outsourcing of expertise, bringing in private sector. Just asking Chief Executive, where is that at now? In regards to improvement planning,
in terms of the development plan, there's part of it we require to bring in specialist knowledge, so stuff on habitat, stuff on retail, we'll be buying the service, but we're not intending buying the service to do the plan itself. So that's currently working through, and perhaps we need to get an update from members on the development plan process. I know that. The director has a meeting with the RTPI. I forget what that means, but it's the Town Planning Institute. So I don't know the RT means, but Town Planning Institute, where she's actually looking to get them to come in and look at the process in terms of how to improve that. Because the view was, the reaction we got in terms of looking at one particular client to do that in terms of other option. So she felt to get, professional advice from the Norgan, from the Institute, which is responsibility for planning, who have experts across the UK who can come in and give assistance. I know there's been a number of meetings on that there, and she's coming through on that there, I would say that, I can report that, we have seen a reduction in the planning, the backlog in planning applications from over 1,200, which was the situation roughly in May time, to just about 1,000 at the moment. So we haven't seen, and member of Democratic Services, though on a weekly basis I take great delight in looking at the net increases, and we see there's 40, 50 coming off every month, number of applications and number of decisions out. You see it yourselves in terms of the delegated decisions. So I think progress has been made onto it. I think there's also other issues in terms that if we have a big throughput of planners because of just given the makeup of the workforce in the planning, and in terms of everybody's trying to get people to cover short-term contracts, and there isn't enough planners out there to do that. Yeah. So we need to be looking, one of the things we're looking at is a way whereby we can bring in graduates and start to bring our own planning trainees in, which then you could actually bring them into training and move them on. But we need to do that in conjunction with what you have is Armagh, Bamish, Craig, Avon. Somebody's at the end of a contract, then they're taken out of our contract, or North Down and Irish take somebody out. So it's like a rotating thing going on. So we need to try and do work on a cluster basis. But that's again what Marie's talking to the RTPI on.
Right. But there's still a number of legacy planning applications. Legacy applications are still stuck in the system. I'm thinking of the likes of, poultry units and stuff like that they were waiting for consultation. Exercises to be finished, but some of these applications are gone 6 years, and they just seem to sit there.
I followed that up. I thought they'd made good progress in there, but I said potentially quite not. I'll follow that.
Okay, members, if I may come in on just the points made by the two members in relation to the absenteeism, and given that it was added to the annual governance statement as a significant governance issue. I know from the discussions we had at our pre-meeting, members were keen to see a regular update on progress made, either come to the audit committee or the special PNR, and we would welcome feedback from your discussions, Liam, as to what format that takes going forward. And I guess that the actual risk register of the action points would be updated from whatever is agreed, so that we're reassured that management, no doubt, are doing everything they possibly can to bring absenteeism down, but just from a governance point of view, that we know it's either going to audit committee or the PNR would be very useful for us to understand that. So, the members, we agreed at the last committee meeting that this report would be not for noting but for decision making purposes. So, if I could get a proposal and seconder to agree the report, please.
I just want to make one brief point.
Sorry,
just before Chair. It's on risks, CR9, which is the Brexit one. And we discussed this the last time, and I know it came to SPNR, and it was on SPNR when the paper had come, and it's with the group. But seeing we're talking about the key controls identified, and we can talk about Brexit, and obviously, you know, it's neither here nor there, we don't know what way it's going to work out. But it's worrying for me as well that the Rural Development Programme has come to an end at the end of this month, I said on it, and it's absolutely a fantastic programme for attracting investment or creating jobs in the rural area. And with that coming to an end and no direct replacement for it yet, we're hoping that there is some sort of a programme of funding comes in to replace that. I mean, it's going to increase that risk as well, because you're going to take away that huge control in there for money to go into a rural area. And I know you've had councillors right around this chamber that big up that programme in the rural areas. You take that away on top of the uncertainty, on top of Brexit, I mean, that's an absolute disaster. So I think everything we can do as a council and other ensure that money does go into that, or if we don't attract more funding through the department, that we replace that programme in some shape or form, because just to lose it completely would be disastrous. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Byrne. Any further questions in relation to the rest of the risks? No? Okay. So, members, if I could have a proposal and a seconder, please. Thank you. Proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 11, the fraud and whistleblowing update. If I could ask George to take us through this, please.
Thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this paper is to notify the committee of any suspected fraud and whistleblowing cases since the last meeting up until the cut-off point, the 16th of September 2019, and to give any developments from the previous fraud and whistleblowing cases until the last meeting. So Appendix 1 summarises the fraud and whistleblowing register. There's been 4 new cases since the last committee, and all cases are currently ongoing, some nearing completion. I would hope by the December committee all of them will have fallen off the register. Just a brief update then on the National Fraud Initiative exercise, the 2018-19 exercise. In total, Council had 758 matches, with 19 of these high priority. So all high priority matches have been investigated and no errors were found. A further 134 matches were investigated, and these were the new NFI report basically risk scored all the matches, so any match with a risk score above 75% was investigated, and this was in line with best practice with other councils, and no errors were found. I suppose from this we can highlight that the controls within accounts payable are working satisfactorily, as it's really defined duplicate payments, and in a number of instances the matches were flagged up, but accounts payable would actually caught on to the error and no payment was made, credit notes were issued, but these are still highlighted as matches within the report, but it was no error. It just highlights that the controls within the accounts payable section are working satisfactorily. From the matches report, there was a small number of council staff and members who were notified to opt their declarations of interest, as their declarations or non-declarations in some cases were not consistent with the information provided in certain matches reports. So this related to companies' houses reports and payroll to creditor matches. So not all staff. The process in relation to declaration hasn't filtered down to all staff yet. It's just ahead of service level. So some people below that haven't completed declarations. So staff are encouraged to complete a declaration if they realise they have one. But basically some staff are flagging it, but there's nothing untoward. It's just best practice to have a declaration completed. So some staff and members had to opt yet their declarations.
Okay, thank you, Gerard. Any questions from members? No, okay, can we agree to note the report? Thank you. The next item is the direct award contracts. And again, Gerard, if I could ask you to take us through this so briefly.
Thank you, Chair. So basically, this is the register for all contracts awarded without competition in the second quarter of the financial year. So The council awarded 11 contracts away as direct award, which had a value greater than £5,000. The total of these contracts was £165,646. So the appendix details each of these 11 contracts, what they were for, the value, who the supplier was, and ultimately who approved the single tender action. So all single tender actions have to be approved by either a director or the chief executive. If anybody has any questions.
Okay, can we agree to note the report? Thank you, members. We've done item number 13, so item number 14, Gerard, if you could just briefly touch on that.
So item number 14 is just the prompt payment statistics. So we submit the prompt payment statistics to DFC every quarter. So the last stat we have is for the first quarter of this year, just the way the audit committee gates fell. So it's from the 1st of April 2019 to the 30th of June 2019. So 89% of invoices were paid within the 30-day target, with 12% of invoices paid within 10 days, and the average number of days taken to pay suppliers across the council is 20. So these statistics are broadly consistent with the previous quarter.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions from members? No, agree to note. Thank you. Items number 15 and 16, we're going to ask Chief Executive to take those. I understand they've been to another committee, so just very briefly would be great.
Yeah, most members will be aware that this has been brought to the plan, and the audit offices, Northern Ireland audit offices, comments on that. Chairman, haven't been through it. We've done a fairly decent presentation at SBNR. I think most members were at, so I don't intend to get into any detail unless members want to raise it.
Any questions for members? Patrick Byrne? Okay, so can we agree to note both reports?
Unless Brian
wants to. Brian, did you want to?
Yeah. Sorry, no, Chair, we have until the end of October then to complete our audit of the performance assessment, so we'll be currently working with Kate and her team down in Uri to go through all the objectives, so we'll issue a report to the Chief Executive at some stage and towards the end of October.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Members, we have no circulars either, so that brings us to the end of our meeting. Thank you very much for your patience, especially taking the time out earlier on to go through the accounts and the audit report. And as it's my last meeting with the Chief Executive, I want to say it's been an absolute pleasure working with him over the years. He always brightens up your day. And I just want to wish him all the very best of luck and the best of health for his future.
Thank you, Mona. Thanks very much.
Thank you, members.